This episode is brought to you by Southern Farm and Garden, a beautiful handcrafted agricultural journal. Subscribe today at southernfarmandgarden.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher. I'm also known as the Food Healer, and we have a really big show coming up today. Today, I am speaking with Alicia Prygalski, who is the Public Policy Coordinator for Farm Animal Protection for the Humane Society of the United States Farm Animal Protection Campaign. And we're specifically going to be talking about the Ag Gag Bill that went into law last week in Arkansas that silences whistleblowers. This is a really big deal. So if you're listening, get comfortable because we got a lot to talk about. Alicia, are you there?
I am, Celia.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me about this. I am so blown away by this, girl, that I'm really excited to have an expert on the phone with me to talk about this and explain about what this is and what's going on.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Like you said, I mean, last week, the Arkansas governor signed this Ag-Gag bill into law that's going to punish whistleblowers for speaking out when they see certain instances of animal abuse. Just like we've seen in other states, the law is intended to shield wrongdoers from accountability and cover up illegal and unethical abuse on factory farms and at puppy mills.
I mean, this is unbelievable to me that this could even be considered to be okay. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, this is one of these things where you really feel like the government is supposed to protect you and supposed to do good things for you and watch out for all of us as citizens of our country to make us better. And I feel like this is something, just in terms of our food supply and the factory farmed food, that this is just going to get worse and worse. So for people that have no idea what we're talking about, can you explain to us what the Ag Gag Bill, what it stands for, what it does, and is this just about agriculture and livestock?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So to start, I mean, ag-gag bills have been passed in several other states, and there are several different kinds of ag-gag. You know, when we first started seeing a bunch of these, like 5 or 6 years ago, they were primarily about agriculture. Mm-hmm. And the intent of these and the effect of these is indeed to punish whistleblowers for speaking out when they see instances of farm animal abuse. Now, it's really interesting because in the last 5 years or so, you know, we've seen like 30 of these things defeated. Six of them have passed into law. One of those was ruled unconstitutional. But the interesting thing about them is that we've seen them change forms a little bit. And that's kind of what brings us to Arkansas. It's much broader than a lot of the ag-gag bills that we've seen before. And what that's going to do is it's going to harm whistleblowers in several different industries and put Arkansas's most vulnerable populations at risk, I mean, including child abuse in addition to animal abuse.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. When you sent me some information regarding child abuse, like, how is that going to affect children?
Yeah, and so, like I said, the law is much broader. It's much more dangerous. It applies to several different industries. So in the language of the bill, in the past, for the most part, we've seen it limited to the agriculture industry. The language of the bill would specify that these bills are about agriculture. Mm-hmm. Some of them flat out prohibited recording in factory farms. Some imposed time limits on turning over evidence, which would effectively limit investigations. But the language would always be limited to ag. That's not the case with this Arkansas bill. It does mention agricultural facilities, but that falls under a broader umbrella of commercial property that recording would be prohibited in.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine that's really broad, and that applies to several other industries. And it does just so happen that one of the situations where whistleblowers could be punished is actually video recording child abuse in a daycare and exposing that to the public.
I mean, it's just like, you know, I'm one of these people, like, you know, sadly, I'm one of these, like, can't we all just get along kind of people, you know? And so, like, I just, with the factory farm, I mean, this is horrifying. But the fact that, like, if you videotaped, you know, if you were working at a daycare and you saw someone beating a child and you recorded this, that you would lose your job and you'd get into trouble for this, to me, is, I just don't even understand this mentality.
Right. Right, that's absolutely right. And I mean, it really does come down to this is a facade, in a sense, for the agriculture industry. It applies to so many of these other industries because when you look at the history of ag bills, as these things progress, mm-hmm. They've gotten really unpopular. And the agriculture industry and legislators know that they're unpopular with the public, and so they try to shift the language like that. But really, what it does is just, you know, it continues to punish whistleblowers in the agriculture industry, but it essentially just kind of throws whistleblowers in other industries under the bus for the sole purpose of covering up farm animal abuse.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's just, I'm sitting here with, like, my jaw to the floor as I'm talking to you, hoping this is a bad dream, you know, because it just seems, so counterintuitive.
Right, that's right. You would hope that when instances of animal abuse come to light, the response would be to punish the abusers, not to cover it up. Unfortunately, in Arkansas, that's not what they chose to do, and so they passed this bill. And, you know, another really interesting point about this is HSU has commissioned a poll mm-hmm. done by a third-party research firm, which showed that an astonishing amount, 75% of Arkansans opposed this kind of legislation that would prohibit whistleblowers from exposing unsafe or unethical actions in the workplace.
Wow.
So, I mean, we can see right there that those numbers, that passing the Ag Bill into law was completely out of line with what citizens and what constituents wanted.
That's so sad. And so, I haven't been to Arkansas. It's one of the few states I haven't been through. I'm assuming there's a ton of factory farms. Am I wrong?
Arkansas does have a pretty big poultry industry. That is correct. Yeah, they do, you know, and I think that it was pretty evident from listening to some discussions on the floor when the legislators were debating this bill that, again, it is about agriculture and it is about making sure that animal abuse in factory farms is not brought to light.
You know, and the thing that kills me about this is that this may be archaic at this point. I'm not even sure. However, there used to be a ruling that, as far as I know, was federal when it came to factory farmed animals for animal food, like for dog food and cat food. There was a classification called the 4 D's, and that was dead, diseased, dying, or I think deformed. And these were animals that could not be slaughtered for human consumption. And so what would happen is, you know, if a cow had a cancerous tumor, they could cut it off and sell it to the pet food industry as beef. And so this is scaring the crap out of me because I feel like this is going to happen towards us as well, which is just going to make us more sick. Now, is that possible?
You know, well, and in terms of the food safety issues like that, I'll give you an example. I mean, this is, it applies to food that we eat. It applies to food that our pets eat. It applies to really anything. A few years ago, an investigation into a dairy cow slaughter facility in California, not in Arkansas, but same similar situation. Mm-hmm. It exposed rampant animal cruelty, you know, workers kicking cows, ramming them with forklifts, just unimaginable stuff. But it also exposed severe food safety violations that led to the largest meat recall in U.S. history.
Oh, wow.
That meat was slated for the National School Lunch Program. So, you know, you think about, had Ag been in place in California at that time, the investigation might never have happened, and thousands of people could have been severely sickened.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that puts a toll on our hospitals, and that puts a toll on our insurance. So it's kind of like, it's such a short-term vision here of what's happening.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, this, I mean, it's so far-reaching in terms of how much this is going to harm Arkansas citizens. I mean, it's obviously it is about animal abuse, but it's about food safety violations. It's about ensuring that Arkansas's children are safe. I mean, and it's about the right to know, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, you think about if we're eating food that's produced in an unsafe way, that can make us sick. We should have the right to know so that we can avoid that food. In the same way, if a parent is trying to decide what daycare to use, they should have the right to know if kids are being abused at a certain daycare so they can make informed decisions. And just sadly, I mean, really sadly, Arkansas has taken that right to know away from its citizens.
Man, if I lived in Arkansas, I would be on the next train out of there, man. I mean, it just sounds like I'm so afraid for the state because I feel like there's going to be, between the animals and the people, there's just going to be this level of sickness that just, you know, pervades everything because now it's allowed.
Right, right. And I mean, we're talking about the situations in which whistleblowers are going to be silenced under this law. They really happen to be situations in which we have such a vested interest in knowing what's going on. So you're absolutely right. I mean, the safety of animals and people depends on knowing what happens in these type of circumstances, and that's just going to be lost in Arkansas, like it is in other states with ag gag. I mean, it's, you know, it's a problem across the country. These bills kind of pop up every once in a while, and thankfully most of them have been defeated because they're not in the best interest of the public, but yeah, certain states they have passed.
I'm really just at a loss for words here because it just, like I said, this is so counterintuitive to the health of Arkansas and to the growth of Arkansas. Like, we're trying to, you know, and the theory is that you're supposed to take care of your people and keep them healthier, and that way they become more productive and you have a stronger country. And I feel like at this point, it's just about, you know, it's the mighty dollar. It's all about the damn mighty dollar. And that's the part that's breaking my heart because, yeah, great. So some people are going to get real rich, but then you're going to have a lot of people getting real sick. And I would only assume that the lawsuits are going to start pouring in and it's going to wind up being really damaging in the long run governmentally for them because of all the lawsuits, if that's even allowed. You know, it just sounds like it's this. I'm so impressed with what you do, girl. If I did this, I think I'd have a nervous breakdown on my second day. I mean, it's just, it's got to be so, so difficult to keep your head on when you're dealing with this stuff because it just seems, there's no logic to it. And that's the part that's killing me.
That's absolutely right. I could not have said that better, Celia. There is no logic to it. And you know, the way, I mean, being down there in Arkansas, the way that the legislators pushing this bill through were marketing this bill was just so inaccurate, you know, marketing it like it's property protection or something like that. But really, what it's doing is taking away the rights of Arkansas citizens. I mean, you really can't explain it more plainly than that.
Yeah.
And there were hundreds, there were thousands of calls into legislators trying to get them to oppose this bill before it passed into law. The same thing happened in trying to get the governor to veto this bill, and unfortunately, the bill prevailed and it's now law. But it just so clearly is not in the best interest of Arkansas, and I think that would make clear by the citizens who tried to call in.
I feel bad for the citizens that called in. I mean, I'm grateful for the fact that they were aware of what truly was going on and were given an opportunity to at least voice their opinion. But the fact that, you know, the mighty dollar was worth more than the opinions of the amount of people that contacted, it just breaks my heart. It really, really just breaks my heart.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and I mean, you look at what's happened in other states, and it's kind of even more disappointing because in three other states that are somewhat similar to Arkansas, you know, very conservative states, have big farming industries. Actually, three Republican governors vetoed similar bills because at the end of the day, they recognized that these just were not good bills for their state. And we were hopeful that that might happen in Arkansas, but it didn't. And so it really just, it's a very disappointing decision that was made at the end of the day.
Seriously. So, like, what happens now? Like, can you guys, you're a huge organization. So are you able to get in there and, like, lobby or something like that? Because since they don't care about, like, the normal Joe and the average Arkansas citizen, like, is it going to be up to agencies to try to bring this down now?
Yeah, it's really a tough road from here. It's really going to be a tough road. You know, we tried as hard as we could to stop this when it was in the legislature. I think that when you look at the track record of what's happened in other states and what's going on in other states, these bills are constitutionally suspect. I think that's a large part of the reason why they've changed format so much. But you take Idaho, for example. They had an ag gag law that was recently struck down as unconstitutional because in addition to being terrible public policy, that one was found to infringe on free speech rights, which isn't surprising when you look at what it does.
Yeah.
There are two other lawsuits pending in North Carolina and in Utah. And so, I mean, you look at that, and that's always an option. That's out there in the future at some point. But, you know, we were so focused on trying to stop it in the legislature, and that's just not what they wanted. So I hope that there's, you know, some path to continuing investigations at some point down the line. But this is really going to tie the hands of not only animal protection groups, but of regular citizens, too.
Yeah.
Employees who are just trying to do their job and just trying to do the right thing.
God, you know, as a farmer, like as someone who would be a career farmer, it would be really, really interesting to hear what they have to say about this, because, I mean, for the factory farmers, it's a different story because, you know, they're so involved in that they've kind of lost the whole, like the fact that animals are alive, you know, for them, it's just a commodity. So they're kind of so into it that I would assume it'd be tough to really get them to pay attention to it. But like the small farmers that have the small farms that are trying to do the right thing, you know, and like not factory farm. I mean, for them, this just, oh God.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you brought that up, actually, because that's been a really interesting dynamic. I can tell you that in previous fights, in this fight, those kind of responsible farmers, the smaller family farmers, opposed to that gag bill. Because it's short-sighted legislation that's going to cause enormous damage to the perception of agriculture in whatever state that's going on. In this case, Arkansas agriculture. And these have been shown to reduce trust in farmers. Give like kind of additional context into that, I guess. One reflection from the industry itself, from a National Pork Producer Council policy representative, said that the industry itself did a study of coverage of ag laws and found that 99% of the stories about these were negative.
Wow.
So you can just imagine what that's going to do to the small farmer who's trying to do the right thing, who's trying to treat their animals well. It's going to give them a black eye, really, just because it looks like everybody has something to hide.
Totally. Totally. And then you're going to get these poor farmers going to farmers markets with people coming up to them and just like interrogating them to no end and being, you know, and it's a pretty brilliant move, because I mean, honestly, if like Americans lose the trust of the farmers, then we're going to go into, you know, which we're doing right now. We're no longer eating real food. We're going into all this packaged crap. And so what's going to happen, and what I'm guessing, is that people that find out about this are going to steer away from factory farmed foods and are going to be eating more like just garbage, like, you know, Doritos, pretzels, Fritos, this kind of thing, you know, because it's so separated that to get your meat in like a frozen pot pie or in a TV dinner or something like that is so much more sterile than actually buying a piece of meat at the market.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that's right. It's really tough. You know, you hear about these food safety violations or these outbreaks of diseases or things that could sicken thousands of people that could have been avoided had an investigation been done, had ag not been law in our particular state. And it's really just disappointing that, again, you know, you look at that kind of right to know angle, and we should be able to know how the food that ends up on our plates was made and whether it was made in a safe way. And, these ag laws, these ag bills really, really make that difficult.
My God, this stinks. All right, well, we need to take... I know, I'm trying to make this optimistic, you guys, and it's just not happening. I'm really sorry, but this is important, so we need to tell you guys the truth. So I'm talking to Alicia Prygalski. We need to take a break, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back in about a minute and a half to continue the conversation, so just stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Southern Farm and Garden, a beautiful, handcrafted agricultural journal. Each issue features stories about food history, seasonal recipes, artisanal products, and the amazing people who bring it to your table. Packed with stunning photography, the content is fresh and educational. Southern Farm and Garden takes you behind the scenes to meet farmers, gardeners, wineries, chefs, and artists who are passionate about creating healthy, unique, and sustainable food and products that you can enjoy all year. Are you interested in eating healthier and learning more about where your food comes from and living a more connected life? Subscribe today to southernfarmandgarden.com. Foodtank.com names Southern Farm and Garden one of the top 20 magazines for people who eat, cook, and grow, praising it for connecting readers with the food, the farms, and the stories behind our food system. Subscribe today or find a retailer near you at southernfarmandgarden.com.
And we are back. I am talking to Alicia Pragowski, who is the Public Policy Coordinator for Farm Animal Protection from the Humane Society of the United States Farm Animal Protection Campaign. I apologize, you guys. I've got a really bad cold, so my brain isn't working that well today. But so, Alicia, question for you. What are some examples, actions, or investigations that are now going to be banned in Arkansas that were normally okay?
You know, I'm glad you asked. I would say, you know, before the break, the one we mentioned about the largest meat recall in U.S. history,
yeah,
the investigation that led to that. If an ag gag law had been in place, that might never have happened. Thousands of people could have been sickened. You know, there was another really kind of nasty case in a factory farm in Kentucky, which exposed mother pigs being fed meat from ground up piglets who had recently died from
I know.
As you can imagine, I mean, that just screams food safety violation.
Seriously.
And it's actually against the state law. Unimaginable cruelty, unimaginably dangerous. So that's just another instance where animal abuse and food safety violations were exposed due to an investigation that likely wouldn't have happened if ANCAG was in place. I think those give a pretty good example, you know, and there are dozens and dozens and dozens more like that.
Wow.
That to give you a good example of how this Arkansas law is going to harm not only farm animals, but also the general public.
Yeah.
But like we were kind of talking about, it's not just limited to animals. So then there is that scary example of, mm-hmm, if a daycare employee video records child abuse at a daycare and then exposes it, he or she could be sued under this new law and could be just financially ruined.
God.
I mean, the damages with this law are so high. And, you know, it's a bit different in that it opposes a civil fine rather than a criminal penalty, which has been the case in the majority of ag gag bills.
Mm-hmm.
But that was deceptive. That was intentionally deceptive to try and make the bill look less harmful, make it look like, it's just a small fine.
Yeah.
When in reality, the damages are so extensive that it would likely financially ruin anybody who decides to come forward.
God.
Thousands and thousands of dollars that, say, an individual making minimum wage would be expected to shell out.
Totally.
Again, silencing whistleblowers in several industries. You know, you have the situation where the employee could get sued in a daycare facility. But then another example, too, of a food safety violation would be perhaps wait staff at a restaurant, if they see a food safety violation in the kitchen, same kind of thing. If they video record that, they could also be sued and financially ruined.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's in certain situations, you know, and again, it just kind of seems like every example that we see with this, every area that this would affect is something that's really, really, really important to public health, public safety, the safety of children and the safety of animals.
But, like, why don't these people understand the fact that they're eating the same food? Like, they're living in our planet. They're going to deal with these rules, too. This is the part that really is like, you know, well, I will not start banging my head against the wall because I have customers next to me eating pizza and I think it'll wreck their meal. But, I mean, it really makes you want to do that. You know, it's like there's not some upper echelon of, like, fancy pants perfection environment or world that all the wealthy people go to and live there. I mean, yes, they're in a bubble, but they're eating our food. You know, they're sending their kids to daycare more than poor people are. You know what I mean? So, like, this rule could help them, too. It's bananas.
Right. Isn't that something? I'm glad you brought that up because that's a good point. I mean, at any time, a food safety violation in a certain farm could affect thousands of people, legislators included. I think that really what was going on in the legislature is that there was so much rhetoric about property protection that, you know, I think it just kind of took over. And I think that a lot of people missed out on what this is truly going to do. You know,
yeah.
The agriculture lobby, as you can imagine, is very big in Arkansas. And it's kind of a tricky concept. You know, you have the Ag Gag bill prohibits recording, but then you add in all of the other industries and pretty soon a lot gets lost, I think, sometimes,
yeah,
in what this is actually going to do. You know, we were down there, we were fighting it as hard as we possibly could, trying to get the word out about what this is going to actually really do. But I think in certain situations, it's not enough.
No, and it's like, you know, I would say probably in about the past 10 years, maybe a little bit longer than that, is when we've been getting all this information about factory farms. You know, we've had people going in and videotaping, and we've been seeing, I mean, go to YouTube. There's 100 million examples of this, and they're rough. You know, they really, really are. And then there's a bunch of films that, of course, I can't think of their names right now because I'm sick. But, you know, there's a lot of information out there regarding the abuses of factory farms. So I'm wondering if this is a kickback to that, because I can't imagine that the factory farms didn't get all kinds of crap to deal with after all those movies came out and all this information's available.
Yeah, Celia, yeah, you got it. That's exactly right.
I don't want to be right on this, man. I really don't.
What did you say?
I really don't want to be right on this. You know what I mean?
I really don't.
I
completely agree with you. But it's in several states that have ag-gag laws. You can really kind of pinpoint what happens is, hey, an investigation into a factory farm comes out, exposes rampant, unimaginable animal abuse, and then, boom, 3 or 4 months later, an ag-gag bill is introduced. I'm not saying that happens in every state,
yeah,
but, I mean, several of them that we've worked on, that's what happens. And, again, that just kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where you would hope that the response would be to punish the animal abusers, not to cover up the abuse.
And so, like, let's say, I mean, there's a lot of workers in, for example, slaughterhouses. And, you know, these are minimally paid workers. A lot of them are not documented. And they're in there, and a lot of them get hurt all the time because they're working too fast. They're working with sharp knives. If these guys get hurt, they can't do anything about it then either. This is going to cover up protections for the employees as well?
And that's really concerning, too. I mean, again, it's a worker safety issue. It's a worker's rights issue. In a lot of these slaughterhouses, in a lot of these factory farms, you are seeing terrible conditions for these workers who are working at minimum wage, trying to slaughter animals at unimaginably fast paces,
yeah,
not allowed bathroom break.
Oh, my God.
Rampant workers' rights violations is true. And so, again, it's another example to show that it's not just about animals. It's about people, too. And these ag-gag laws harm workers in the slaughterhouses, too.
This is unreal. I mean, if I've ever heard a case for veganism, here it is, people. I mean, seriously, because this is no joke. I mean, this has gone from, like, not wanting to kill animals for food to, like, the food that you may be getting on your plate could really make you really, really sick. Or, you know, I don't want to be dramatic, but, I mean, you get something with, you know, some really nice food poisoning bacteria in this could kill you. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. And I mean, you know, unfortunately, the way things are now, there's not adequate regulation of factory farms and slaughterhouses. And so these investigations are just absolutely necessary to ensure that the public knows what's going on behind those closed doors.
Unreal. I mean, it's really, really just unreal.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, another interesting component of it is, over the years, a coalition of over 70 organizations from various facets have opposed these bills. I mean, just in Arkansas, you know, to kind of give you an idea, the ACLU of Arkansas opposes, the Arkansas Press Association, because it's going to discourage people from going to the news, going to the press.
Yeah.
Center for Food Safety, Center for Science and the Public Interest.
Wow.
So, when you kind of read off a list of these names, you get a full picture that this is about cruelty to farm animals. It's about cruelty and to animals in puppy mills. But again, it's just that broader coalition of organizations that are trying to stand up and say, this is wrong and we should not have this in our state.
Oh, my God. This is going to affect puppy mills, too, which are
it's
not good either.
It's going to affect puppy mills, too. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, you think same kind of situation. Let's say you have a worker who doesn't really know what he or she is getting into, goes to work for a puppy mill, just kind of thinks, oh, maybe this is a place they raise dogs, sees animal abuse, records the animal abuse in some way, it's going to affect puppy mills too, unfortunately, yeah.
Wow. So we're going to get even sicker dogs out of puppy mills now. I mean, I worked in a vet's office for 4 years, and I can't tell you how many people got their dogs from quote-unquote private breeders in puppy mill states, and every single dog that showed up was sick as hell. I mean, we had ones dying that they'd had for 2 days, and it's just going to be worse.
Right, right. And that's the thing. I mean, it's already such a big problem to then say we can't expose what goes on in these puppy mills, or else employees or investigators or whatever are going to get sued and financially ruined and bankrupt. It's going to have a real negative effect on the animals and puppy mills too, on those dogs.
So how do you think this bill is going to affect the reputation of Arkansas and our agriculture?
I would go back to the Pork Producers Council. You know, 99% of the stories about ag are negative.
Yeah.
In addition to that, last year, a 2016 survey published in a journal called Food Policy found a measurable reduction in the public trust of farmers after learning about ag laws. So I really think this is going to be a stain on the agricultural reputation of Arkansas. I think it's going to be a stain on farmers who are trying to do right by their animals, trying to treat them the best they can. I think that this is just, it's really short-sighted. It's not a smart move for Arkansas agriculture in the long term. And I think that is something that we'll kind of see play out as time goes by in all of these states that have ag laws.
And so was this started by the current administration, or was this a bill that has been going on for, you know, ages, and the previous administration was dealing with this?
In Arkansas specifically, this has been attempted 7 times previously.
Wow. Okay.
In different forms, of course. The first one was back in 2011, I think, and, you know, they kind of ran the gamut of types of ag laws that they could introduce. I think Arkansas has tried literally everything. They've tried just a straight-up recording ban. They've tried to make it a crime to misrepresent on a job application. So that's saying, you know, if there's a question on a job application that says, have you worked for an animal protection organization?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, if you say yes, obviously they're not going to hire you. If you say no, you can be charged.
Oh, my God.
So, in short, Arkansas kind of tried everything, and this has been going on for years in that state in addition to other states. And unfortunately, this is just the time that it actually works.
Yeah. Yeah, so this isn't like something that they thought up like November 10th and like scrambled to get this done as quickly as possible. It's actually been going on for years.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, again, it's really unfortunate that this is the version that passed. It's unfortunate for farm animals that, you know, now their suffering is going to go undocumented. No one's going to know what's going on behind the closed doors. It's unfortunate for Arkansas citizens, for public health. Really, it is just bad policy.
It's sad. It's really, really sad policy because, I mean, Arkansas, you know, I don't know Arkansas well. So with the exception of Little Rock, which I kind of know, you know, it's pretty much a rural state. So there's not a ton of money in this state except for, you know, the cities, but like the rural people that are doing all this work. Excuse me. I feel like it's just, you know, I feel like everyone's throat is going to be cut in the long run with this law.
Yeah,
I don't really see how anyone's going to succeed.
Absolutely right. I think looking at the long term, nobody wins with this kind of law.
Do you think there's anything that, like, we as normal human beings can do to help with any of this at this point? Or, you know, I mean, are they even listening to us at this point?
You know, I think that they are. Arkansas, unfortunately, you know, at this point, it's kind of a done deal.
Yeah.
The only thing that could happen is potentially a lawsuit could be brought. You know, that's always a possibility in the future. But they are listening, and that's so clear because, I mean, 3 Republican governors have vetoed these kind of bills. In North Carolina in 2015, the governor was just flooded with calls and legislator contacts and all of that, you know, and his veto got overturned, unfortunately. But they are listening in several states. I mean, you look at 30 ag bills that have been defeated across the country in the past 5 years or so.
Wow.
Versus only 6 in the past 5 years that have passed. I mean,
okay.
I think that kind of speaks for itself in that in a lot of states, legislators and governors are going to listen to the public. you know, unfortunately that didn't happen in Arkansas, and that's really sad and disappointing.
Yeah.
But I think that it's something where we need to keep fighting and we need to keep trying, because maybe next time around in a different state, they're going to listen to us and they're going to want to do what's in the best interest of animals and the public health.
So, like, for people that are listening that want to do something, what can they do? Can they donate to you guys? Like, would that help? Or what else can we do?
Yeah, I think that the best way that listeners could kind of help out and keep up to date with what's going on, I would check our website for more information on ag-gag laws. It's humanesociety.org/ag-gag, and that's A-G-G-A-G. So humanesociety.org/ag-gag. You can sign up for action alerts there. So if an ag-gag bill gets introduced in your state, then you'll know about it right away.
Cool.
You'll be able to contact your legislator. You'll be able to see what's going on and kind of jump on board and join the fight.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
you guys are a 501c3. So you guys are working primarily off donations and grants and stuff like that, like we are. So if you guys want to help, they need money. That's what's going to keep these guys going. You know, they've got to pay their employees. They've got to pay all these researchers that they've got going. They've got to pay their lawyers. So, I mean, even $10 is going to make a big, big difference. So if this is something that's freaking you out as much as it is me right now, please do something and reach into your wallets, because, I mean, we have to do something, because at the end of the day, we're all the ones that are going to get screwed, frankly. So pardon my French, but, you know, I'm at this point, I don't want to mince words, you know.
Right, and that's why, I mean, that really, truly is why we're so grateful for all of our supporters, because we could not do this kind of work without our thousands or millions of supporters out there, you know, helping out, jumping on board, helping with these fights when they pop up. I mean, it's, you know, it's not just about us here working at HSUS. It's about all of the people across the country and across the world who truly care about the well-being of animals.
And I mean, the nice thing is I think that that number is increasing exponentially daily, you know, and I think that we just have to keep our eyes open and, you know, don't be distracted by the cute little bunny or the kittens. They're cute, but, you know, you got to keep really focused on the other animals. I mean, you know, cows, pigs, chickens, they feed us. They deserve a lot more respect than they get from us. You know, these guys, this is partially their job in many cases. And so they deserve as much respect as possible for sacrificing their lives to wind up on our plates. You know, and needless to say, factory farming does not offer that. However, with everything that's going on now, I mean, it's just such a fiasco.
Right. That's absolutely right. You know, and it's about giving these animals, ensuring that these animals have a good quality of life. It's ensuring that they're not being intentionally abused or neglected or hit or kicked or any of the other stuff that we see all too often going on in these investigations that occur at factory farms.
God. You know, and the fact of the matter, too, is that if you're eating factory farm meat, these animals are highly stressed. I think it's fair for me to make this assumption with everything that we've said today. So if that's the fact, then you've got more uric acid in the meat. Stuff is not as good. There's a lowering in nutrients, especially because they're not being fed their native diet. Most of them are living on corn, which cows don't eat. But anyway, that's a whole other show. So, you know, you're also bringing down the nutrient levels for the consumers of those animals. So we're going to get sicker. We're not going to get our nutrients. I mean, shit, you can get protein from beans and tofu and 100 million other vegetables. So, like, that whole speech just doesn't work anymore. It really, really doesn't.
I could not have said that better. I mean, animals in factory farms in extreme confinement situations that they're in, living in these situations where they're getting intentionally abused as well, studies have shown that, yeah, they're more stressed out, and that's going to affect the quality of meat, that's going to affect the eggs. You know, there are higher rates of salmonella, for instance, among hens that are in battery cages versus hens that are allowed to spread their wings.
Oh, God.
You know, I could go on about that, but I won't. But I think that you nailed it. You're absolutely right. I think that respecting these animals enough to ensure that they're not being intentionally abused, at the very least, is going to be better for everybody, the animals and people as well.
I think so, too. And I just want to say thank you again so much for taking the time to talk to me about this, because sadly, I was one of the people that was completely ignorant about this, too, until you guys reached out. And so I am eternally grateful to have had this episode, because, I mean, you know, at this point in time, this is my bit to help out, and this is how I can protest, and this is how I can help, is by educating everybody through the amazing guests I get like you, who can tell people what's actually going on, you know? So, like, information's really, really crucial, and I'm really, really grateful and so proud to have had you on my show today. I can't tell you. I think this is hands down the most important show I've ever done, and I want to thank you for that opportunity, big time.
Celia, and I can't thank you enough. I mean, I think we are in total agreement on the importance of this issue, and it is so powerful to get that out to your listeners, and I really appreciate you having me on the show tonight.
And I'm telling you, man, if there's anything that I can do for you guys, if there's any other topics, call me and you're on the show tomorrow. This is absolutely where I want this show to go, is more towards animal education, animal welfare, and this is really just... You have absolutely made my month, and probably more than that. But, you know, I hate hearing this stuff, but I'm so grateful to have people on who are brave enough to share this information. I got a big mouth. I'm going to tell everybody, you know, that's my big problem, basically.
Well, but thank you so much.
Definitely.
I mean, this has been absolutely wonderful to get the chance to talk about this with you.
Thank you. And like I said, you guys, check out the Humane Society website. It's humanesociety.org. If you want to know more about what we're doing, correct me if I'm wrong, humanesociety.org/AGGAG. That's what we're talking about.
You got it, Celia.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it, Alicia. Thank everybody you're working with so much for all of us. People don't understand how important this is for the entire nation. You guys are doing something for every single person that's in the U.S. right now. And I don't think people realize that. So if there's anything I can do, please let me know. And thank you again.
Yes. Well, thank you so much again. It's been great, Celia.
I've really, really enjoyed this. And so for the listeners, next week we will have a brand new episode on. And I need to read you guys something. So are you a Heritage Radio Network member yet? Members... I'm so sorry, I'm so sick. Membership not only supports the production and broadcast of this show, but also comes with some perks. All current members are invited to our new monthly happy hour season, Books and Brews. Join us on April 10th at Three's Brewing at Franklin and Kent in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, with hosts of Eat Your Words, Kathy Irway, and her new book, The Food of Taiwan. Meet other members, snag a signed copy of The Food of Taiwan, and enjoy some beer from HRN business member Threes. Donate at heritageradio.org. Donate to get your exclusive invite today. Thank you guys for listening. We're a 501c3 too, so if you like what you hear, please throw us a little bit of money. You can say it's for me. You can say it's for any other show, but thank you so much for listening. Please spread the word about what we talked about today. I will see you guys next week. Until then, take care.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.